Welcome to the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas podcast series. Please enjoy this message by our own senior pastor, Tavares Gardner.
Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. You may be seated. As I said earlier, Jeremiah was a prophet to the nation of Israel, and he was trying to get their attention, or rather God was trying to get their attention, because the children of Israel were God's chosen people, and they were to set the example of how other nations should act by them watching the Israelites. But, you know, God, sometimes we get laxed in God, because God begins to be good to us and we begin to get the luxuries of being saved and sanctified. And then sometimes we get complacent in our walk with God, and sometimes too much stuff will sometimes turn our hearts away from God, because then we start getting the big head. I did this. I got this. We start getting ourselves in the way, and we start turning our hearts from God. And my thought today, you know what I talk, how I feel about thoughts. My thought today is heart disease. And I'm gonna talk about and I got some statistics from the American Heart Association, and we're gonna intertwine all this together. Cardiovascular disease, or heart disease, listed as the underlying cause of death, accounts for nearly 801,000 deaths in the U.S. That is about one of every three deaths in the U.S. About 2,200 Americans die of heart disease each day, an average of one death every 40 seconds. Cardiovascular disease, or heart disease, claims more lives each year than all forms of cancer and chronic lower respiratory disease. About 92.1 million, everybody say 92.1 million, American adults are living with some form of cardiovascular or heart disease, or the after effects of a stroke. Coronary heart disease accounts for 1 in 7 deaths in the U.S., killing over 360,000 people a year. About 790,000 people in the U.S. have heart attacks each year. Of those, 114,000 will die. The estimated annual incidence of heart attack in the U.S. is 580,000 new attacks and 210,000 recurrent attacks with heart disease. I'm going somewhere. Heart attacks, 11.5 billion, and coronary heart disease, 10.5 billion, were of the 10 most expensive hospital principal discharge diagnoses. A lot of people having heart trouble. That's just in the natural. And that's dealing with that piece of meat that's pumping in your chest. But what about the other heart? I'm not talking about spiritually. When I'm talking about spiritual heart, I'm not talking about this. But that other heart that God always talks about is where the seat of emotions and the will lies, that subconscious mind. Lord have mercy, it's getting deep in here already. Listen to this. Many forms in the natural of heart disease can be prevented or treated with healthy lifestyle choices. So it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. There are four valves in the natural heart, but I only want to talk about one valve in the spirit realm. The heart has four valves, the aortic or the mitral, or the pulmonary and the tricuspid valve. Somebody said, what? And the who and the what? I'm not a doctor, but I do research. And so these four valves, they open and close to direct blood flow through your heart. Valves may be damaged by a variety of conditions leading to narrowing, leaking, or improper closing of the valves. How can I know spiritually that you have a heart disease? How can I know spiritually that one of your valves is infected or is in trouble by your mouth? Because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So I can tell by your mouth, your conversation, that you may have some type of heart disease. I ain't got no help in here. Touch a neighbor and say, do you have some form of heart disease? Because I can tell it by the conversations that come out of your mouth. I know I ain't going to get no help in here today. I'm not going to get no help in here today. And now turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. I'm going somewhere. Some of you are already nervous. Somebody said, yes. Well, don't be nervous, because there is a remedy for heart disease by changing lifestyle. I lost half the church right there. Touch a neighbor and say, there's a remedy for your heart disease. Come on, come on, come on. Look at him. Say, there's a remedy for your heart disease. God is concerned about our hearts. Whether you know it or not, he's concerned about our heart. Verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. When they arrived, this is the anointing and the appointment of David being chosen as king. And Samuel shows up, and when he arrived, he took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointing. But the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel, don't judge by outer appearance. See, the church has. The church has flipped that thing. Don't focus on your heart, but focus on your outward appearance. Just look holy, and God's gonna bless you. But then you fit that scripture. You got a form. But you deny the power that can make you holy. Touch a neighbor. So you may be dressed up to the T. You may have your face on. I can't hear nobody. Hair laid. I can't hear nobody. Hair long. May have been short yesterday. May be long tonight. Hallelujah. Depend on how you feel today. I can't hear nobody. You may have your good body magic on today. I can't hear nobody. To hold everything in place to make it look like you done lost by 10, 20 pounds. I can't hear nobody. You may look good outwardly. I can't hear nobody. But your soul, your heart is deceitful and wicked. And God is not pleased with your dressed up self, because there's a lot of dressed up people inside the church. It's going straight to hell with gasoline t-shirts. First class. Verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. You better be careful of who you try to appoint by outward appearance. Oh, my God. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them, Samuel. People judge outwardly, but God looks at the heart. The heart is where that character lies. You can act good for a long time. You can appear good for a long time. But let something happen with your goodness, with your good self. Let something trigger something in that heart. And we're going to see the real you with your character. Lord, it's deep in here. Jacob, you might have to start my truck and run me out the side door. Our thoughts are products of what we have heard and learned. I'm talking about the heart. The heart is the what? The subconscious mind. It's the mind. What is it? It's the conscious mind. Our entire life is controlled and determined by our heart, that subconscious mind. When we hear heart, we usually think of the organ beating in the chest that pumps blood through the body. But when the Bible uses heart, it is usually referring to the subconscious mind. The heart, you want to write this down in case you forget it. The heart is the seat of our reasoning. The storehouse of all of our thoughts, the seedbed of our ideas. Say it again, preacher. The seat of reasoning, the storehouse of all of our thoughts, the seedbed for our ideas. Will you repeat that back to me, what I said? Somebody said, you're going too fast, preacher. Slow it down. Say it one more time. The heart is the seat of reasoning. Stop right there. Let somebody finish right now. Y'all ready for the next one? The storehouse of all our thoughts. I'll stop right there. Let me know when y'all ready. Because y'all on my time. I got 39 minutes. Y'all ready for the next one? The seedbed for our ideas. And I got one more. Y'all ready? The center of our decision making. It is the equivalent to the hard drive on a computer. Everything is stored on the hard drive of a computer. And with the strike of a button, you can pull up stuff. All you need is a trigger. All we need is one trigger, and something will remind us of stuff that's on our hard drive. The heart is where we sift things over and make decisions about what we want and to do and to be. And attitude and behavior are tied together because our actions come from what we think. They used to tell us a long time ago, you are what you think. We are a sum total of all of our thoughts. So where you are right now and the lifestyle that you have right now is because of the sum total of what you think about you. So if you are in poverty, guess what? You are in poverty because that's your thought life. my wife taught me something, and I hope she remembers because I'm put on the spot. There's a difference between being wealthy and rich. Can you explain the difference between wealthy and rich? Because a lot of black folks want to be rich.
I don't remember exactly what I said, but the difference between rich and wealthy is that wealthy is a mindset. So they say people who are wealthy, even if they lose all their money, they'll get it back because they have the mindset to always acquire money. Where rich people, they usually get money instantly. Think about lottery winners or people who, you know, football players. They're rich. But you think about the wealthy, they'll always have the ability to make money.
Such a neighbor say it's all about the mind. So you can be rich and have no wisdom. Wealthy people have wisdom because there is a mindset, and it was something that was taught. Look at all the Sam Walton, Sam's wholesale store. That family is wealthy because Sam's is gone. Even though Sam Walton may be dead and gone, but the name and the family lineage is going to always be wealthy. I can't hear nobody say nothing because they were taught to have that mindset. So even the job that you own that you don't like and you have settled, it's because you don't think you're better than. I don't like this job. Well, what are you going to do to better yourself, to come from being employee to being employer? Touch your neighbor, say, you are what you think. Am I boring y'all? Because I know y'all was dancing and shaking it. Now you done got, look like y'all done got convicted. But you're trying to figure out where he going with this heart disease stuff. I'm going somewhere. Might not get there today. But we're going to get there eventually. Hebrews 4:12 said the word is quick. Sharper. Let's go there real quickly. Hebrews 4:12. If you see anybody asleep, tell them to wake up. This ain't the time. That'll let me know you got heart disease because you're fatigued. One of the symptoms of heart disease is fatigue. You're always tired. And if you come into the church, you come into church while the word is going on, that let me know you may have some cardiovascular disease spiritually. Ain't nobody going to like me, but I don't care. Because I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to teach the word. Hebrews what? For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any, than the sharpest two-edged. The word is sword, not sword. The W is silent. Don't ever say sword. It's sword. Everybody say sword. You don't, that's just like salmon. You don't say salmon, you say salmon. I just got to throw that in there because people, I mean, y'all, we butcher words. For the word of God, I had to make y'all laugh because y'all was mad just a few seconds ago. For the word of the Lord is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword. Cutting between soul, woo, soul, woo, and spirit. Soul, soul, come on, soul, 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 soul. Soul consists of the mind. That's that heart, will, and emotions. Come on, soul. If that word of God divides the soul and what? That's why you can't trust your heart. You got to trust the word because the word is going to divide between what's soulish and what's between joint and marrow. It exposes. Did y'all hear that? The word exposes our innermost thoughts. Touch a neighbor, say that. That mind is, again, that subconscious, that heart. It does what? It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's why that demon don't want y'all to read the word. Because if you ever read the word and saw yourself and not Sister Toefoot. Because most of the people, when they read Bible scriptures, they start thinking about somebody else. They never think that the Bible is a mirror for you to look at, not nobody else. You the only one in that mirror, not Sister Toefoot and Brother Watermelon. According to Jesus, all of our actions are motivated by the contents of our heart. Or what is stored in our subconscious mind. Have you noticed that people's true, have you noticed that people's true attitudes and belief are often manifested when they are under pressure? We see the real character. We see what's really in your heart. When pressure hits, sometimes God allows pressure to make that thing manifest so you can see what's in you. Pressure God allows to squeeze to get that mess and junk out of you. I can't hear nobody. He'll put you in vice grips, it almost seemed like, and he'll start twisting and turning you like every which way but loose until you scream, God, I need help. Has anybody just here lately, you've been feeling the squeeze? And God has allowed trouble to hit us, I can hear nobody, to reveal what's in our heart. Hallelujah. So you can see that you still got a little more work to do. You ain't perfect like you thought you would. You still need Holy Ghost in those areas. You still got a little cussing, I can hear nobody. You're speaking in tongues on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But Thursday, Friday, you got a little cussing you. You still got a little drink in you. Can't hear nobody. I got to squeeze all of that stuff that's in your heart out of you because you can't have me and you at the same time. Touch a neighbor and say heart disease. So when we are under pressure, it is a test to see that may be some heart disease. That may be some symptoms of heart disease that I thought I got rid of. So it ain't the devil, it's God allowing the devil to put the squeeze on you so you can see you. So them folks that have stabbed you in the back and that mama that forgot about you, that daddy that ain't thinking about you, and God allows triggers to happen to show you, you still got to deal with that stuff. That's still not resolved. Because that's still, that thing is lodged way down deep in your subconscious. And every time you hear the word mama, that demon rise up to the top. Your nose start flaring up because you start thinking about what mama did or what mama did not do when you was a child. How she did not protect you. How she did not teach you how to be a lady. So, character is revealed under pressure. We are held accountable. Not only for our actions, but we are held accountable also for thoughts and attitude. When's the last time you thought about what you were thinking about and checked yourself? Have you ever told yourself, shut up Have you ever had to tell your mind to shut up because it was taking you somewhere you didn't want to go? I have to tell myself to shut up. I say, Tavares, he say, shut up. Lo and behold, if you sit at the desk like I do all day long, I can't about it, and your mind start traveling, and you start thinking about everything that's ever been done to you bad, I can't about it. You start thinking about all the stuff that you didn't get when you was a child, and if you had had this better, and if it went away, and sometimes I have to say, Tavares, shut up. Because if you let your mind roam, if you don't quiet your mind, and if you don't shift your thinking and take authority over your thought life, I can't about it, bring every thought captive, hallelujah, to the obedience of Christ. That's your responsibility. That's not the Holy Ghost's responsibility. It's your responsibility to control what you're thinking. Depression, for those of us that have dealt with depression, such as I have, and for those of you that are still dealing with depression now, it is a result of your thought life. Basic. Where is Stacy? Stacy, where you at? Is that right, Stacy? Is that right? Depression is really dealing with your mind, because you letting your mind. And we taking pills for something spiritual that can only control you for a certain length of time. And then you have to keep taking it to control your thought life, to make you sane. I can't hear nobody. When all I need, hallelujah, is get them demons cast out. I need a clean hard drive. I need a control, alt, delete. I can't hear nobody. In my spiritual heart, I can't hear nobody. To delete the mess off of my soul. I can't hear, it's called the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Repentance, I can't hear nobody, will give you a control or delete, and it will refresh your hard drive. It'll reset your mind. Oh my God. And get it in the word. It said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4, I can't hear nobody. Touch your neighbor, said, that's the remedy. I don't need no pill. I got the pill right here, and it's called the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Touch your neighbor, said, I need the Bible. That's my pill. And if I take that pill every day, I won't need a physical pill. Holla out, heart disease. I pray this scripture most of every day. God, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So you may not say nothing, but God even knows what you're thinking. I can't hear about it. And if he judges the thoughts, I can't hear about it. Touch the neighbor, said, then I need to clean up my thought life. You may not be lusting naturally. I can't hear about it. Want a man, need a man. But lust starts in the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at, he studies what's in our heart. This is because the subconscious mind reveals what a person really is. See, Samuel thought that Eliab was going to be the king, but God, just because he had a look. Many times we have messed up, chose the wrong person, married the wrong person, slept with the wrong person, because they had a look. And then when you slept with them, you saw their heart. You would judge judging by looks, but you didn't judge their heart. You can get an ugly man, I can't hear nobody, and have a good heart. But you keep judging, you keep looking at them old 6 foot jokers with a six pack, I can't hear nobody, tall and handsome, and just about all the water glistening all over his body, I can't hear nobody. You looking at looks, but his heart is nasty. That joker mess around and beat you up, I can't hear nobody, all because you judge by the appearance. That's why your marriage is bad, because you were going by, you were led by your heart, not your spirit. Holler back at your boy and say, heart disease. Do y'all like this, or do I need to go home? I was going to teach it anyway. I feel my help now. I feel real good. Holler back at your boy and say, heart disease. So again, the heart is the subconscious mind. In essence, we are to have our conscious and subconscious mind filled with the thoughts, words, nature, attributes, and characteristics of God. Now, it takes quite a while for that mind. It's a constant renewing. See, in my old life, my former life, when I was in that lifestyle, okay, that homosexual lifestyle, I had wrong thoughts. I was out of order. I was dysfunctional because my mind had been warped. My heart needed a new heart. It wasn't until I came to a real house, a real church, where they believed in deliverance and being filled with the Holy Ghost, that God took out the stony heart and gave me a heart transplant and gave me a new heart. That's what he said in Ezekiel. He said, I'll give you a new heart. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll take away that stony heart, that stubborn heart, that stiff neck heart. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Touch the neighbor and say, do you need a heart transplant? Hallelujah. Well, you in the right place, because if your old heart is dysfunctional, if your old heart is messed up, I can't hear nobody, there's a God in heaven, hallelujah, who will give you a heart transplant for your heart disease. Most of us cannot break certain habits because we don't have the right thoughts and attitudes that will enable us to change. How is it that you can do good for 3 months, 6 months, and then all of a sudden, after the third month, you go right back to that which God, which you was crying and snotting on the ground for. There's something still in that heart area that has not gotten out. It's called the will. You have not given God the will. You know, Jesus take the will. Now, y'all thought he was talking about them steering wheel. No. He talking about that will. Well, you still want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and whoever you want to do it with. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to turn your will over. I didn't understand it in the Church of God in Christ when we would come down to the altar, and the old mother would say, baby, you got to turn that will over. I'm like, what do you mean, the steering wheel? No. The will. You got to turn your will over. That's why you got to tell the Lord every day, yes, Lord. Yes to it. yes to your way, I will obey. Touch the neighbor and say, you got to turn your will over, baby. You can't have your will. And my bishop told me, it's not Burger King. And your salvation is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. When you get saved, you got to give it to God. You got to turn your will over to the Holy Ghost. Ain't fake, can I get a... Thank you. I just needed it, Aunt Faye. I can go on a little bit further now. Give it to me one more time, Aunt Faye. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Check this out. You don't really believe something until it gets in your subconscious mind. Most of us can't break certain habits because we don't have the right thoughts. Again, the attitudes that will enable us to change, your conviction determine what is stored in your heart. And your heart is the container of your attitudes. It's the bank. Your heart is the bank from which you draw from that determines the way you live your life. So again, you are where you are in life, not because God. You are where you are right now is because of what you thought about yourself and what you think about yourself. I don't know what God, why I'm in this trouble. God ain't put you in no trouble. He didn't put you in this situation that you're in. You put yourself, because most of us, I got to go back again. We have followed our own heart, our own desire, and we did not consult God. Sure is quiet in here. Everybody says, the folks that, even the sinners say it, but I ain't talking about sinners, because sinners do what they're supposed to do. Sin. That's what they do. So I can't judge the sinners, because they're doing what they naturally made to do. But I'm talking about these church folks. Oh, when they sin, they say, God knows my heart. And I just read Jeremiah 17. He knows your heart is wicked and deceitful and full of lust. God says, I do require a broken and contrite heart. Mind. Broken from the old ideas and mindsets and everything contrary to my word. God says, so when we use the phrase God knows my heart to justify our wrong actions produced by wrong thinking, why? Because we chose not to renew the mind, because many feel it's too hard to change, and so many deny my power to make them change. Even Michael Jackson. Well, spiritual enough to write a tune says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Then he had nerve to say, I'm asking him to change his ways. And guess what he said? And no message can be any clearer. If you want to make a world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. So the only, oh my God, oh Michael, you was prophetic, boy. I don't know where you, anyway. But he used him to pin that phrase that if any change is going to start, and if I want to make the world better, everybody has to look within inside themselves, and that is what you need to change.
Thank you for joining our podcast today. If you would like more information about our ministry, or if you would like to sow a seed, visit us at www.twfcdallas.org.